This morning's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for feeding us through bread and wine. And we pray now that you'd feed us straight from your word, and we pray that despite the heat, we might concentrate and focus on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue with our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. And a few weeks ago, Ruth preached about love, and she's very caring, I can say that. And David preached about peace, and he's a man of peace. And Jesse preached about joy, and he's a very joyful person. So why on earth am I up here talking to you about patience? Ruth thinks I'm very patient, but let me into a secret. Actually, I'm not all that patient at all. And for example, and here's another road story, okay. When we're travelling along a country lane and we're held up behind a group of those people that are called cyclists, I can get just a tad irritated. In dark moments, I'm tempted to think, why can't they cycle somewhere else? It's bad enough being stuck behind a tractor for 20 minutes. Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow just kind of like, well, you know, like sort of very gently sort of just plough through them? Or if we could somehow make them scatter in the nicest possible way. Now, I know that I really shouldn't think like that. And if you are a cyclist, I do give you my sincere apology. I really love travelling at 5 miles an hour. Honestly, I do. Anyway, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and so on. And so said St. Paul when he wrote to the Galatians. And of all the fruit of the Spirit, patience is probably the hardest to cultivate. It's something that doesn't come easy, and we have to work at it, don't we? Other fruit can grow in our lives quite quickly. Take kindness, for example. If our hearts are right, we can show kindness in a split second, almost without thinking. And so we say things to people like, well, let me hold the door for you. Or let me help you carry that. Let me get it for you. Or would you like a cup of tea, a biscuit, or a piece of homemade cake? That's kindness. And they smile, don't they? And we get that kind of feel-good factor, that warm glow that sort of follows being appreciated. But in all honesty, when was the last time being patient made us feel good on the inside? To make things worse, we seem to live at quite a pace in our modern times. And so we value and rely upon what's instantly available and doesn't require patient waiting, especially so when it comes to food and drink. The quicker, the better. And so we have instant hot drinks, ready meals, takeaways, drive through or drive through, and it all saves us time, if nothing else. And if that wasn't enough, we can even go to the bank or go on the computer and get an instant loan agreement, instant finance, and with that, of course, instant debt. And why? And so we can get what we want and have it right now, rather than wait for it patiently. And sadly, the shops add to the frenzy when they say things like, hurry, 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 while stocks last. Life was so different for my parents' generation. If they couldn't afford something, they went without until they'd patiently save for it. Incidentally, that's also the generation that lived through the dark days of 1940, the time when many young men waited so patiently to be rescued on the beaches of Dunkirk. I wonder how many cried out to God. Well, this nation turned to prayer. Thousands queued to pray in Westminster Abbey, or they prayed somewhere else. Then I think it was a real miracle that 330,000 men were rescued. Clearly, patience had its reward. Moving on, let's think about the source, the origin of all patience. The source of all patience is God himself. And we do to remember that, you know, God is a patient God. Patience is an attribute of God. Patience is a part of God's character. Patience kind of defines who he is. St. John wrote simply that God is love. And St. Paul wrote simply that love is patient. Love and patience go together. Love is shown in patience, and patience expresses love. Not surprisingly, then, the Old Testament frequently speaks of God's patience. He's said to be slow to anger. He's got a long fuse, not a short one. And slow to anger, particularly in relation to his people, the people of Israel. Their rebellion and waywardness seem to continually test God's patience. And similarly, the New Testament speaks of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience towards you and me. Of course, God ultimately revealed himself to us in the person of his son Jesus. And we know that Jesus really overflowed with endless patience towards his disciples. They were slow to understand things, and they were slow to believe. And they got so much wrong, and yet Jesus was so patient with them. Even to the point that on the night before Jesus humbled himself and went to the cross, they were arguing amongst themselves about who would have the top jobs in his kingdom, and yet, of course, he freely forgave them. But let's not be too critical of them. You know, if I were God, I would have given up on me many years ago, and you might feel the same thing about yourself. After his death and resurrection, Jesus appeared to Saul, who became Paul the Apostle on change of name, and that changed his whole life. And that transformation serves as an example of Jesus' great love and mercy and his patience. Interestingly, St. Paul saw Jesus' patience towards him as an example to us. And so we find in his letter to 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and from verse 15, he writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." God's great patience continues to this day. In fact, I will go so far as to say, it's only as we begin to recognize how patient God is that we can understand the age in which we are now living. Why do I say that? Well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus appeared on earth, and he spoke much of his second coming. A long time has passed, and he hasn't returned. Well, not returned yet. So, of course, critics and scoffers abound, just as they did in the days of the Apostle Peter. But Peter faced up to all the negativity surrounding the return of Jesus when he wrote these words in his second letter. He said, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the day of the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," that's to return, as some understand slowness. "Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so we're living in this age, an age in which God is patiently waiting for people to turn to him. This is an age of patience on God's part, which means an age of grace towards us. Let's move on again then to think about the biblical meaning of patience. Well, I've done some research. I'm not a scholar, but I've read that an Old Testament word for patience is actually a combination of two words. Okay, on the screen. Patience equals long nostrils. What's having long nostrils got to do with being patient, you may well ask? Well, it's because impatience can lead to anger, and angry people will often breathe quickly and heavily as their nostrils flare and widen. By contrast, when they are patient, people breathe more deeply and remain calm. So why not turn to the person next to you and say, "Well, how's your nostrils this morning?" Okay, and then in the New Testament, the most commonly used word for patience means long-suffering. From the use of this word, we see that patience means enduring difficult situations, and yet without giving up hope. And patience is coping with difficult people without giving in to anger. And having managed a department in a bank where we processed bank charges and got thousands of phone calls about it, you have to manage difficult people and not lose your temper. Or again, as somebody once said, patience is faith taking its time. And I like that. You see, patience is a personal quality produced by a lifetime of trust in God in good and bad times. It's a mark of our maturity because it means not getting upset even when we don't get our own way. It's a virtue and a fruit of the Spirit that takes a long, long time to grow. But it's also said, and I'll just throw this in, it's going to be on the screen, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, found seldom in a woman and never in a man. But that's not written in the Bible, so you don't have to believe it. You're quite entitled to totally ignore it because it's all nonsense, you know. Anyway, Dr. Tim Keller was a well-known pastor and teacher, much respected man in the United States. And just a month ago, he died after a 3-year battle with cancer, and during which he wrote much, he didn't stop serving Jesus. And he once said this: "Patience is love for the long haul, and is bearing up under difficult circumstances without giving up or giving into bitterness. Patience means working when gratification is delayed. It means taking what life offers, even if it means suffering, without lashing out. And when you're in a situation that you're troubled over, or when there's a delay or pressure on you, or something's not happening that you want to happen, there's always a temptation to come to the end of your patience. You may well have lost your patience before you're even aware of it. Let's just take a few moments to reflect on that and those words that have been written. Now, let's not make the mistake of thinking that being patient means not doing something, like just staying calm and not getting annoyed or angry. You know, patience can be a very active and a very positive thing. God can use our patience much more than we realize. So here's a couple of great Old Testament proverbs coming up on the screen. And says this, Proverbs 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Good to have that in politics, wouldn't it? And again, Proverbs 25, verse 15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Wow. Our patience serves God's purposes. Let's move on again to, critically, the patience that we all need most. We need to be patient with others, not least with other believers in the family of the church, he said. Last year, I visited a church which only had one toilet, and I popped in to use it. A few moments later, I heard this awful banging on the door, and I mean, they were really hammering it. I really thought they were trying to sort of break down the door and come inside. And then when I finished, I came out with some trepidation, and I saw these two ladies standing there. And they looked at me, and they saw my dog collar, and they exclaimed, "Oh, Pastor, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't realise it was you." So I tried to be gracious and just smiled at them. But, I mean, what on earth were they thinking? That it's okay to be impatient with some people, but not with others? Or do they think that clergy are somehow different and that our bladders need special treatment? I don't know. I don't know what goes on in people's minds. You know, we can easily just lose it through sheer impatience and fall out with each other. Maybe that's why the Bible says so much about patience. The New Testament is littered with references to patience. And here's a few examples. And sometimes you see the phrase forbearance. Colossians 3, verse 12 and following, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we heard that earlier. Then again we read Ephesians 4 verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14. We're patient, aren't we? Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Again, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Now, you might say, well, that's all very well, but how can you and I become more patient? Well, clearly, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit's help in all of this. And then, in turn, we cooperate with him as we play our part. So, his inspiration and empowering is followed by our determination. So here's a couple of practical things that we can do to be more patient with other people. And I really am saying this to myself. Firstly, try and see things from the other person's point of view. The cyclists had the perfect right to cycle along the road, and they were just enjoying themselves, and perhaps I should have paid more attention to the beautiful countryside and not to what was going on. And the two ladies could have been really desperate for the loo and standing there, you know, cross-legged or whatever. Secondly, let's develop our sense of humour and see the funny side of things. You know, humour is a gift of God. It's very relaxing. Laughter helps us relax and take the stress out of situations. And thirdly, remember the most irritating and annoying people are loved by God. And who are we to judge them when we ourselves have been forgiven so much? And so, as the Bible says, we bear with each other and forgive one another, as the word says. Now, like peace, patience has more than one dimension to it. You know, it goes in different directions, outwards to other people, and also a patient attitude towards God. That's the patience that we need, for example, when we're waiting for God to act and to do something. Waiting on God helps us hear God's voice and so to keep in step with him. It stops us from just doing our own thing without really achieving anything. For example, this is just one sort of simple example, but really important. When we pray for people on a Sunday morning after the service or at other times, it's so very easy to listen to someone's prayer request and then start praying for them immediately. But it's far better to start praying by first asking for the Holy Spirit to come and then to wait for a short while, just wait patiently and hear what God wants to say. See, he sees things that we don't see, and what the person's saying may not be like the whole story. And the Holy Spirit might want to remind us of a particular verse of scripture or give us a word of knowledge or a prophetic word. And so then we can pray for the right thing and home in on the right thing. But that only comes as we wait upon the Lord. Having said all of that, we often have to wait upon God for ourselves. And you know, King David did exactly that. And he wrote about it in the Psalms. He wrote this in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. You know, that's a picture of a man in a very difficult situation. We don't know what it was, but it seemed like to him that he was sort of stuck in slime. Sometimes we get slimed by other people. And it was so bad he couldn't get out of it by his own efforts, even if he tried. And perhaps you can relate to that situation. It seems like you're stuck and there's no way out. David had to wait patiently. He had to give up thinking he could save himself and then cast all his anxiety upon the Lord. And so accept God's agenda and God's timing, difficult though it was, and what a place to be. And then eventually the Lord lifted him up and set his feet upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. That's who comes to mind. It caused him to worship with a new song. He was now secure, and his life was to become a beacon of hope to others. And the key to it all was David's patient waiting upon God. There's much encouragement in God's word to wait upon him. For example, we read Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So as I close, could I perhaps ask you, is there something or someone over which patience is required, or to be patient before God because you're waiting for the answer to that prayer. Maybe you've prayed it a million times, but we wait upon him. So let's just close with a few moments of silence. We put our full attention upon the cross that we have remembered this morning. Must have seemed like an endless time for Jesus to hang there. But he was trusting God. And so, Father, in these moments, we bring before you those difficult people that we have to be patient with, and our own situations, Lord, that maybe don't change very much, and we are patiently waiting on you. Father, we pray for great grace upon us, great grace upon the church, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak and give us all the encouragement we need. In Jesus' name. Amen.